Welcome back to the well. This is part three of the series in the end times. And just good to absorb the faithfulness and the goodness of God as his children. We were meant to receive from him. We were created, you know, with intricate details of our design, of our makeup, of our being, to receive truth, to receive revelation, and receive just the goodness of God. And so, yeah, let's just set our hearts to receive from him. Receive the free gift, everything that he wants to show us, everything that he wants to give us, everything that he wants to teach us in this hour, because it's all good. And faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed at the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made out of things which are visible. This is Hebrews 11, 1, 2, 3. And faith is the key. Faith is the key. Faith is the answer. And faith is what we need. And it's a beautiful promise that we have from Jesus that if we seek, we'll find, that if we ask, we'll receive, and if we knock, the door will be opened. And so as we ask the Lord for faith, like the disciples did at one point, they said, Lord, increase our faith. And then he did. He spoke words to them, and he did. He gave them faith with his word. And so as we set our hearts to seek the Lord and to seek faith, we will indeed receive it. So Father, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would increase our faith. May it be so, God. Amen. So, faith is a mysterious, wonderful, powerful thing that we see throughout the Bible. And it's always praised and encouraged by God. And faith is our key to the end times. It's our key to the heart of God. And it's our key to many, many good things. Faith is what we need. Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. And so, this situation that we're in at the end of the age and the tribulations that we're going to face are impossible to overcome without faith. Rest assured of this, dear saint, dear brother or sister. Without faith, it's impossible. As simple as that. And so, I see this pattern consistently in my life that I try to do something just in the realm of do, but I lack faith, and it's impossible. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult when something is literally impossible. And I can't do the good that I need to do, and end up in a really unfortunate situation. Why? Because the day of testing and trial arrived, but it caught me off guard and it caught me unprepared because I didn't have the measure of faith that I needed to overcome. 1 John 5 says, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Overcome the world. The world. All the things, the temptations, the distractions, everything that the world has to offer, it's all overcome by one simple thing, faith toward God. Amazing. Okay, so faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I think a real key piece of increasing faith is to take out of the way what hinders faith. And to have sincere hearts, and to have a sincere conscience toward God, because the Bible says that, that we need to have sincere hearts, that we need to pursue faith, love, and righteousness. With those who call on our Lord Jesus Christ from a sincere heart. This is what the word says. And so The word sincere literally means without wax. And the reason it means without wax is because in the old days, when they would send letters, they would seal the letter with a wax seal. And with that wax seal, no one could open the letter except the one to whom the letter was addressed. And so the letter was a secret, only to be known by a certain person or maybe certain people. And so that's a letter with wax. But a letter without wax is an open letter that anyone can read. And whoever carries the letter and wherever the letter ends up, it just might get read by anyone. And so the word sincere means without wax because we're supposed to be open letters. We're supposed to be open letters, read by all, not hiding anything from anyone, in the light as he is in the light, to have fellowship with one another, and that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, would cleanse us from all sin. And so I really believe that wax is something that hinders faith. And it's desirable, and it's of utmost importance to have sincere hearts in our pursuit of God and in our Christian walk day to day in order to walk by faith and not by sight. And in order to have the measure of faith that we need, because that wax gets in the way of faith. Really, the wax is control on my part. I'm putting my hand in and I'm trying to control something of myself, of my own strength, of my own power, of my own wisdom, and I'm not really trusting in God and letting God do what God does. You know, so faith anticipates God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, so in faith, there is a sincere anticipation, looking forward to, and sure, really assured of what we're looking forward to. This is the nature of faith, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And in hope and in faith, there is this anticipation, like, yes, it's going to happen. Yes, you know, this good thing is coming. That's the way that faith speaks. That's the way that faith behaves. It behaves in sincere anticipation. But notice that true faith is in God. And the faith that we need is faith toward God, not just any faith. And so, sincere faith is powerful in that it anticipates God. And its anticipation is confident because of God. Do you see that? In other words, I could say, Righteous Father, I'm asking that you'd give me a red bike in Jesus' name. Amen. And a prayer offered in faith will indeed receive a bike, and yes, it will be red. Why? Because I know that God is a good Father who gives me the things that I need, and all that I have, and all that I pray for, believing, I will receive. His word said that. Jesus spoke that in his word. And so, as we ask according to his will, and as we ask for him, and not just to spend it on our pleasures, we will indeed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we will receive. And so, thank you, Father, that I will indeed get a red bike, because I need one to be able to get around, and this is for your glory, for your name's sake, and for your gospel, and not for myself. And so it's because of God that I am confident of the thing hoped for, which is my red bike, and sure of this thing not seen, because I don't see it yet. I don't have a bike. I don't have any evidence that I'm going to get one, except I know who God is. I know who God is. I know he's a good father. I have a relationship with him. I talk to him every day. He talks to me. And we're on good terms, and if we weren't on good terms, he would let me know. And it's okay, because his grace is sufficient for me, and his mercy endures forever. And he knows what I need, and I believe that he's the type of person who will respond to a sincere request, a sincere asking, like for a red bike. I just believe that. And so faith is confident beyond a shadow of a doubt, but the reason that it is because of God. It's because of who God is. And it's a conviction in the nature and the character of God. This is true faith. This is sincere faith. And it's very important that faith is in God and faith is not in self. Because, unfortunately, faith in self is almost as terrible a lie as conditional love. You know, faith in self is just because I am or because I can, something will come to pass. But this is putting ourselves in the place of God as our own source of truth and of good and of sufficiency. And unfortunately, it doesn't work out. And it creates disappointment after disappointment. So, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the reason that we have this substance, the reason that we have this evidence, and the reason that we have this strong conviction is because of God. And so God is the essence of our faith and what our faith is in. Yeah. And this applies in every area of our life, that we will obtain the promises of God, that we will endure to the end and be saved, and that we will walk in righteousness and holiness before Him, and that we will receive eternal life, and that in all things God will be glorified in our body and in our lives because of who God is, and because He's a God who keeps His promises. He's a God who keeps His promises. Do you believe that, beloved saint? Do you believe that His word is true? You know, we can just decide to believe. Isn't it beautiful that God has created us from the beginning to be vessels of faith and of belief? And we can just decide. We can just resolve in our heart and in our mind that we will believe God because He's believable and He's trustworthy. You know, when you open the Bible, dear one, resolve to believe what it says and your life will change. Listen, the Bible is not to force you to do stuff. That's not what it is. Yes, we must do what it says. We must look into the perfect law of liberty and do accordingly. But the essence of the purpose of the Word of God is not just marching orders. The essence of the purpose of the Word of God is for us to know Him. To know Him. To know Him for who He truly is. And for us to know truth and to believe truth. And so when we combine the Word with faith, it's so powerful. It's crazy. It will transform us from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so our actions will come about, they will result naturally. They will come about from what we believe. Because if I believe that God has commanded me to do something, and I believe that I can, and I believe that it's good, I will absolutely do it. But if I don't believe that God has commanded me to do something, if I don't believe that I can, and I don't believe that it's good, even if I go for it, it's not going to pan out very well. And so this applies to obedience, and this applies to every area of obeying the Word of God, keeping the Word of God. We need to believe that this commandment truly is from the Lord, and it truly is good. And we truly can do it, because that's what God said. Yeah, it's so good. And so we're after faith. We're after faith right now. We're in pursuit of it. And we're believing that we're receiving it from God, because He's a good Father who gives freely to His children as we seek Him sincerely and earnestly with all of our heart. And the nature of a child and the identity of a son or of a daughter is not to pay our part in receiving things from our Father is not to pay him or earn what we get. A child doesn't ask their father for food, and then the father says, yeah, but that'll be $5. And if you want more, it'll be 10. If you want something different, it'll be a different price. You know, it just doesn't work that way. The father gives freely to the child, but here's the clincher. The child lives always under the authority of their father as long as they're in the household. Do you see that? And they maintain responsibility and fulfilling all their responsibilities in the household as long as they're there. This is what the child must do. They must fulfill their responsibilities and be under the authority of the father as long as they abide in the house. And with that, they receive freely from the father everything that they need. And so are we as children of God. We abide in the gospel, we abide in Jesus and in his love, and we continue faithfully in our responsibility that God has given us as his children, living before him with a pure conscience, and with that, we receive from him freely everything that we need. We need to maintain this mindset instead of the mindset of earning things from God, paying him, deserving what we get, or trying to control or manipulate God to give us what we want. That's a very unfortunate, very sad way to live. So the gospel is free, and the good gifts of God are free, and we're receiving faith freely tonight in Jesus' name. Because I really believe that our Father has a mind to give. He knows what we need, and what we need is faith. And so, as we pursue it, he gives it to us. And in our pursuit of faith, really, we just need to get out of the way everything that hinders faith so that we can have more of an opportunity to receive it. And it's this wax, the old wax of control, the old wax, putting a seal on our heart, putting a seal on the letter of our lives so that it's hidden, so that people can't read it, so that we, you know, we hide from ourselves, we hide from others, we hide from God. We hide because of shame, we hide because of fear, we hide because of doubt. And in that hiding, I really believe we're blocked from walking in faith. And so we need to be sincere, sincere hearts before God. In order to walk by faith and not by sight. The wax needs to be taken away. The hiding from God and from others needs to be taken away. And we have to address this right here. This why we hide from God and from others is because of control. We're controlling something. I'm controlling something when I'm hiding from God. I'm controlling something when I'm telling lies and hiding things from people. What are you hiding from people? Child of God, right now, what are you hiding? What are you hiding from your husband or your wife? What are you hiding from your boss? What are you hiding from your mom or dad, from your friends? What are you hiding from yourself? What are you trying to deny every day to hide even from yourself? What are you hiding from God? What veil do you have up before God so that he doesn't see certain things in your life? What is it that you're hiding? What is it that I'm hiding? Listen, faith is belief in the truth. It's conviction in reality. And in order to know the truth, we need light. Because light is the revelation of reality or of what's true. That's what light is. Ephesians 5 says, whatever makes manifest is light. In other words, whatever reveals reality and whatever reveals and exposes truth is light. Yeah? And so light is essential for us to know truth. If you want to know the truth, you need the light. Because if it's pitch black, you don't know what's around you, and therefore you don't know the reality that you're living in, and therefore you don't know the truth. And if you don't know the truth, how are you going to believe the truth? And if you don't believe the truth, how are you going to have faith? Because faith is sincere anticipation of God. But if you don't know who God is, you can't anticipate Him. And if you don't have light, you can't know who God is, because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Do you see where we're going with all of this? That when we hide with insincere hearts, when we close up our life like a letter that's sealed and only addressed to certain people, like, I only want this person to know these details, I only want this person to know these details, and the rest I'm all just going to hide. Yeah, then we're in darkness. That's called darkness. Because it's not exposed, it's not making manifest, it's not light. It's darkness. And in the darkness, we cannot possibly know the truth. Because as we hide ourselves from the truth in us gets confused and manipulated, and we miss the truth. And we don't have revelation of the truth. We can't believe the truth. And then we miss revelation of God. We can't believe God, and it's impossible for us to have faith. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I went years, literally years, praying, crying out to God, increase my faith, Father, I need more faith. But walking in darkness, living in darkness, lying to myself and to others, hiding things, trying to hide things, trying to manipulate my own appearance, hypocrisy, living with a seal on my life and on the letter of my heart. But the reason why I was doing that is because I was afraid of God. I was afraid He was just going to judge me. I believed I was always wrong and I could never be right. Could never do anything right. I believed I would always have this sin and always be stuck in it. And I didn't have much hope. And so in my approach of God, in my interaction with God, and in my experience of God, I was living behind a veil of dead works. My prayers were like, God, don't you see, I've done this and this and this and this and this. I've done all these good things, and poor, pathetic, helpless me, please help me, please help me, please help me, amen. Was it? But I wasn't really getting sincere and just talking with God, because I felt that I had terrible sins that I was stuck in, I didn't have hope, couldn't be forgiven, and I was really doubting the promises of God. And really, I was walking in this legalistic righteousness, thinking that my own good works were the essence of the reason that God loved me, the true substance of the reason that I could be forgiven, or that my sins could be pardoned, was because I was doing enough good stuff for God. Terrible lie. Terrible, deep, deep, deep lie. Am I good enough? Am I good enough? Strive, strive, strive. Am I good enough? Look, God, look at me. I'm trying so hard. Am I good enough? Strive, strive, strive. Hide these things. Manipulate these things. Control, control. Don't let these people know this. Try and, you know, get people to praise me so that I find some evidence that I'm good. It's no way to live. And then I just decided, I resolved, you know what? I'm going to believe what the Bible says. I'm going to stop trying to write my own Bible with my life. I'm going to stop trying to write the love of God to myself by what I can do and by what I can prove to Him. I'm going to stop trying to create my own gospel of my own sufficiency and my own righteousness and my own good works. I'm going to lay all that aside. And I'm going to say, well, God, I was just born and I'm just here and I just believe in You and I believe in Jesus. And I know He's alive, and I know He's good. And then I just turn myself to the Bible and to the Word of God. And I said, whatever I find here, I'm going to believe beyond a shadow of a doubt. And my life entirely changed. Because then I realized He loves me for free. And my sin just is forgiven for His name's sake, because that's what He intended to do for me from the beginning. And then I laid aside the legalistic righteousness, and I came to God and really confessed deep things to Him, and I started to come into the light as He is in the light, and to have fellowship with Him and with others. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleansed me from all sin. This is 1 John 1. And so you can come into the light, beloved saint. You can just confess all of it to God without trying to hide or control or manipulate anything. Tell people the truth. Be honest to people. Tell them the full, all of it. You know, I didn't come because I was afraid to speak to you at this time because I really don't have an answer for your question because I don't know what to do because I feel pressured right now and I just haven't made up my mind yet. So I've been avoiding you for that reason. Bam, just be that honest and see what happens. See the great blessing that it will bring into your life. Let's just believe that the Lord is our shield and that he fights for us and that he's good and that he'll take care of us. And let's trust in him with all of our heart and come into the light with people and be like, yeah, well, you know, the true reason that I did this or that was this. Boom. Let's get honest. Let's get honest. Because every little dishonesty is actually a lie. And every lie is actually darkness. And every bit of darkness that we carry and that we entertain in our being blocks us from faith and from walking by faith. Let's get rid of the wax seal that's been on our hearts for so long and just open the letter of our heart to others. So God, I'm asking in Jesus' name that you would give us grace to come into the light, to hide nothing, Lord, to be open letters. God, I'm asking that you'd give us grace to tell the truth to our neighbor, to our friend, to our brothers and sisters, to our fathers and mothers, to our spouses. Make us very honest, O God. And just, we trust you, Lord. We trust you to take care of us as we do so. Give us grace to be honest with you as well, so that we don't fear to come into the light. We don't fear to speak with you because we believe you're good. And we believe that every bit and every angle of our sin will be met with grace upon grace. May it be so, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.